This evening, I've been asked to take up the subject of drishti and the transformation that can occur through drishti. And of course, Dadi Janki will be joining us at 7, and then I'm sure she will continue with that same trend of thought. Because in yesterday's Murli, Baba was actually speaking to her when he said that you can change the world with drishti. When I was kind of churning and thinking what I'll be saying to you this evening, a thought occurred to me that this aspect of eye contact is actually something we carried through from the very beginning of the cycle, from the Golden Age all the way through to the end of the Iron Age. And then when we came into the Confluence Age, Baba gave it a word, and that word was drishti. But if you look at, there's a saying, love at first sight. So something occurs, whether it's a chemistry or whether it is a dynamic of some kind, but something happens through the eyes, and that's called, in this particular instance, love at first sight. Also, it is said that the bonding between a mother and her child is when the mother particularly is feeding the child searches to make eye contact with the mother. So the child would be looking and looking and looking until the mother actually looks at the child. Then the child relaxes. The child feels safe. And so the child keeps looking into the mother's eyes, and hopefully the mother's not too distracted that can look back into the child's eyes while the child is being fed. And then the child feels safe. But there's another story that I recently heard, and it shows how this thing of eye-to-eye contact is something that is so meaningful in our lives. And those of you who've heard this story before, bear with me, because I must have told it on a number of occasions. And the story is that there was a class in which there was, lots of students, but this particular student would go home every day after class and say to his parents or to his mother, "Mommy, Mommy, the teacher doesn't love me." Right? And so the mother is wondering, well, why doesn't the teacher love you? What is the reason? And of course, the child could not reason. He could not say what it was the reason that the teacher, he was experiencing the teacher not loving him. So then one day he came home and he said to his mother, "Mommy, Mommy, Mommy, the teacher loves me." So then the mother said, "Well, what happened today in the school? What happened today in class?" And he says, "Well, before I would put my hand up when she would ask a question, but she never saw me. Today, I put my hand up and she asked me to answer, so she saw me." And so that child was looking at the teacher seeing him and was interpreting that as being loved. So because the teacher saw him, he felt loved. Now, this thing about being seen is very interesting. If I'm acknowledged, if I'm seen, I feel good about myself. I feel good about it. And so the aspect of being seen is like feeling loved by that other person. And that is why even the concept of greatness is said that what is greatness? greatness is, or greatness rises from the admiration of the other. When I see something about the other that I describe as great, I feel great. So all of these different aspects of our relational dynamic of life, of relating to one another, somehow is connected with how we are seen and how we see others. And so today, when I was thinking about drishti, I was thinking about drishti at two levels. One level is seeing into being. And the other level is seeing into doing. And in yesterday's Murali, I was talking a lot about the awareness that we should have and the importance of drishti. But the drishti coming from the awareness we have and from the attitude that is formed from that awareness. Now, if we were to look at Baba as our teacher, right? Baba said, Daddy Gozar was talking about the three important relationships of father, of teacher, and of Satguru. And she was saying, Baba is still the teacher, and he's still the father. But when he becomes the Satguru, he's going to be a little bit strict with us. And so, in the relationship of the father and the teacher, we should actually hurry up and make our efforts. We should have this long-term accumulation of an income that would help us to pass that test that she described to us, the test of 1 second. And so if we were to look at Baba as the teacher, right, and we are sitting as students, and Baba is teaching us things about ourselves. Now, what he was saying to us in that Murali, do you have the awareness that Baba has? So for me, seeing into being is a seeing that occurs from the realization of myself as a soul. And the realization of myself as a soul means that I begin to see myself with the awareness that Baba is seeing me. Because when he teaches me, he is teaching me about myself. And so he says, I give you divine insight. And divine insight means is that I open your third eye of wisdom. I'm giving you the wisdom with which you can see yourself differently. And so in the Muralis, when Baba is talking to us, he is actually seeing us, and he never stops seeing us with that vision. So we may go through our ups and downs, and we may have our fluctuations, and we may have our distractions, and we may have our maya, and we may, whatever it happens, when I come in front of Baba, the way he sees me never changes. And that is why he puts an aim and objective in front of us, and he says, this is what you have to become. So just look at this. And so it is as if it's a very interesting thing. Because he looks at me with that vision of me being divine, of me being a deity, then that seeing, the way he sees me, Baba's drishti, whether I'm in Baba's room or whether I am in front of Baba Dada, the way he sees me, the way he looks at me, it brings forth from within my soul the experience of being divine. So it creates his awareness of seeing me as a deity, creates within I, the soul, or should create within I, the soul, the awareness of myself being divine. And so that seeing then creates that relationship with Baba, that closeness with Baba. So the closer I become to Baba, it's the more I begin to have faith in myself. That yes, I am what Baba is seeing in me. Now, I think one of the fundamental things that occurs within the soul when Baba looks at us with that elevated vision of who we were and who we will become is that I then get a sense of my own worth, of my own goodness. I think one of the reasons that we fluctuate as Brahmins is that we don't believe in our own goodness. And even though Baba tells us again and again and again and again that you are my children, you are entitled to the inheritance I've come to give, you have a right to that inheritance, you are those same children who have returned to me, you are my long lost and now found children. This is how Baba is seeing us. We somehow do not have that sense of recognition that I am that special soul that Baba is speaking to. I don't see myself in the same way. And so for me to see myself in the way that Baba is seeing me, it means that somehow I have to hear what he's saying to me. I have to listen carefully that he's not talking about somebody else, but he's talking about me. And he's seeing things about me that I can't see about myself because I have these layers and layers and layers and layers of stuff that I have inculcated or I have acquired within me due to my ignorance. So because he has given me now, he has opened the third eye of wisdom for me to look at myself. This is the kind of attention he's asking me to pay. Look at yourself, O children, look at yourself the way that I am looking at you. Now, there is this aspect of when we hear what Baba is saying to us and when we try to understand what it is that he's seeing within me, that he loves me so much, that he never gives up on me, that he continues, no matter what happens, he's always there for me and he continues to tell me all these beautiful things about myself. When we hear these things, when we begin to look at ourselves, we can do two things. We can either take what we're hearing from Baba and in looking at ourselves to become that, we can begin to paint. And so we see ourselves based on an image we would like to create based on what Baba is telling me about myself, and that's the image I'd like to show the world. And so I begin to paint myself. But that doesn't work for very long. Because if I begin to paint myself, I'm just looking at an image of what I want to be. I'm image conscious, I'm role conscious, I am conscious of things that are still being influenced by how others would see me. And so I begin to mold and shape myself based on what others would like to see of me. And then that I, as he said, deceives us. Because the I is still being influenced by the external world. So in order for that I not to deceive us, we have to work with a reality. And in working with reality, it means that we need to have values such as honesty, such as transparency, such as seeing myself as I am. And in order to do that, I need not to paint myself with what Baba is telling me, but I need to clean myself. So when we start the process of cleansing ourselves, then we begin to see the real me, who I am. based on how Baba is seeing me. And sometimes we don't know who I am. But I need to have faith in what Baba is saying to me based on how he's seeing me. Because remember, he knows me as I am. I don't know myself as I am presently because I have all these layers of stuff to get rid of. So the process of cleansing myself is like removing the layers and layers and layers of stuff that I believe myself to be. And all of a sudden, Baba is saying, you're not that. You're something different. And as I begin to clean, the reality of who I am then takes a shape in a way that I begin to have faith in my own worthiness. So you understand these two things, right? We all go through this as Brahmins. The image part and the reality part. Seeing my image and not wanting that image because I don't want an image. Why would I want an image? But what I want is the truth. What I want is the reality of who I am. And what I want is for Baba to work with me based on how he sees that reality, for that reality to flourish, and then for that to mold and shape according to being that instrument that Baba wants me to be. Now, if I use this as a premise in terms of my awareness of myself, I think that the awareness that I have of myself, I will begin to recognize how important it is at any point of time. Because Baba is saying, whatever is my awareness, that is what will seep through my eyes, these two magical boxes. Because whatever is in my awareness, and as I look with that awareness at another human being or at a situation, that is what I will see. Now, you know, we live in this world, and this world is so full of all different kinds of different situations and circumstances. And sometimes it's when Baba says, I am telling you to look with your eye of soul consciousness. So the way that Baba describes drishti is to be soul conscious and to look through that eye of soul consciousness with accuracy. So when I look with accuracy, it means that I'm looking at another human being as a soul. Now, what does that look like on the field of action? And someone gave a very beautiful example. He said, I stopped at the traffic light and someone came and knocked at my window begging me. How did I see that person? Well, Brahmins would say, with what drishti did I look at that person? If I were to look at the misery, I will say the misery is increasing in the world. Look at the state of this person. And all I'm seeing is the misery. That wouldn't be accurate drishti, would it? If I look and I see the poverty, then I could blame. And I could say, what is the government doing? Look at what's happening. We have beggars on the streets and they're not doing anything about it. So then my drishti, my seeing, goes onto the system and I blame the system. But if I were to look at the human being who is in front of me, in other words, if I were to look with accuracy, if I were to have the drishti of soul consciousness and look at that human being as a soul, then what I would see would be very different. It would be totally different. And what I would see is another human being, my brother. And then perhaps the thought that would occur to me would be two. What have I contributed that made such a situation present in the world? And secondly, the responsibility. What can I do to make a difference in this person's life? And so when I look at that person with soul consciousness, it is not that I'm evading. You see, the accuracy of drishti is not that you are putting the world away and you're saying, oh my God, I don't want to look at what's happening. I want to run away. And so my drishti would protect me from the harsh realities of what's happening in the world. I don't think so. I think when Baba says, have the elevated awareness of yourself as a soul, it means that you are looking at another with that respect, regardless of the situation that that person happens to find themselves in. But you are looking at that person in the remembrance of Baba. And so you're seeing, it's only when we are in the remembrance of Baba can we see another being as our brother. And only when we are in the remembrance of Baba can we see another human being as a soul with respect. And with equality. Because another beautiful thing about being at the confluence age is that when we have soul conscious drishti, we actually create a relationship of equality. Because nobody knows what is the stage of another person, nor do they know what they will claim in terms of status. So as a family, we're all equal in terms of being children of God and in terms of being brothers and sisters. Now, Baba has the account of our efforts, and then he knows what we will be and when we will be and when that will happen. Baba says you will recognize it through drishti as well at the end. So for me, the most powerful and effective tool we as Brahmins have is the power of our drishti. And this power of our drishti, when we look at another as the legitimate other, as a person who has equal rights in this world, as a person who is playing their part accurately, then what I remove from my consciousness is the critical I. You know, when Baba says, remove the I in mind, one of the I's that we have is the critical I. And we always look for things that divides us, that divide us. We always look for things that maybe are different. We always look for things that maybe we could be a little bit judgmental of. Because that's the way our intellects are trained, the 63 births. But now what Baba is saying, with drishti, use the appreciative I. And the appreciative I is, look for things that would be of benefit to you. You know, I don't know if you caught the sentence that Baba said. It was like something that made me, you know, kind of, wow. He says, if you look at a situation, even if that situation is a situation that is creating anger, and you see that anger, you've actually committed a sin. So when I'm living in the world and I have my appreciative eye and I'm looking at all these five vices combined and, you know, really in a the network of the vices, let me just put it this way, and they are ruling the world supreme, and I'm looking at everything that's happening, now this I, this divine insight that I have, that allows me to have the appreciative I, is that somehow I have to look at that situation and I have to extract benefit. I have to extract something that I could use, even though it's a drop, a little, that can somehow make sense to me, though, so that what I am inculcating from that situation in the form of an experience is going to add to my income spiritually. And so when Baba says the number one Srimat is to be in the remembrance of Baba, Baba knows what he's saying, because it is only when I am in remembrance of Baba that this appreciative eye, or this eye of appreciation, can work. Because he's telling me, you look for a benefit, you see, you, and this is where the seeing into being, whatever you're seeing, you bring into being what it is you want to see. And I can do that, but it requires effort. And you know, when people say, when children come, I mean, you put it down to the basic relationship of parents and children. So when the children come and begin to communicate with their parents, the parents are always told not to just listen to the words, but hear what they're saying. Look for the meaning behind the words. And I think this is part of the appreciative eye. Look for that which will bring strength to both you, the observer, and to those who are acting. Because it's not just I am the observer, and I'm looking at what's going on, and I'm protecting myself from it, so I'm going to use my appreciative eye, and I'm going to look at that situation like that. But the reason I'm being the observer, it's because I want to help. The reason I'm being the observer is because I want to see the whole picture. The reason I'm being the observer is because I just don't want to see the facts, but I also want to see the meaning. And so if I invest my energy into seeing the whole picture, then I will also invest my energy. The reason I will be investing my energy is because I want to help at some level. And so I think that the seeing into being is that, one, whatever I'm seeing is becoming part of my being, but also whatever I would like to see, I project my drishti accordingly. And so this is why Baba says, there may be people who are doing 99% that which is not right. But if you can see the 1%, the one thing that person is doing, and you hold your vision on that one thing, sooner or later, you will bring into being, perhaps, the equivalent of 99% of good within that person just by seeing that one good thing. And so this is the power of drishti. It can bring into being whatever it is you want to bring into being. But most importantly, it brings into being our divine awareness of ourselves. And I think that when that divine eye, that insight is so clear, we will not deceive ourselves. But if we just, you know, say, okay, Baba, you say that I should look for the good and I look for the good, but you didn't tell me that there was also bad, and look how much what happened here, and I was deceived, and then what happened? At the heart-to-heart conversation in Oxford, someone said to Daddy Janki, but Daddy, how can you love someone who does something that deceives you? How can you still love that person? And you know what Daddy said?
that person didn't deceive you.
You deceived yourself. And so if we don't have the wisdom or the insight to see things the way Baba is teaching us to see it, to see the different things, then of course we're going to be deceived. But then we can't blame the other. We have to check ourselves. What it is that occurred within me that caused myself to be deceived by that person. So she said, and of course it was so like revolutionary. This person said, but Dadi, what do you mean by that? What do you mean that I've deceived myself? She says, because you were looking for something that wasn't there in the first place. So don't project your desires on others and want them to fulfill them when they don't have the power in the first place to fulfill them. And they're making excuses of why they weren't able to fulfill them, and you then call that deception. So be clear. Be clear with where you take your support from and where you take your strength from, and let your vision be focused on that. The other thing about drishti, and I find that in terms of transformation, it is that if the drishti that Baba talks about is to use the eye of soul consciousness and to also use soul conscious love that could radiate through our eyes, then it means that the more we develop that awareness, and the more we develop an attitude of being world benefactors, and I think attitude is formed by the way I think about something and the way I feel about something. And the combination of those two creates within me an attitude. Now, there's a saying that if you live in New York City for a long time, say like 30 years or so, you become a New Yorker. And then when you're in the company of a New Yorker, Julie, correct me if I'm right, is that people think you can be snobbish. Now, that's considered an attitude. Or if you live in Europe and you are, you think that you have the best in terms of your music and your literature and your culture, then they would always say that, you know, the Europeans think they're superior to other nations when it comes to X, Y, and Z. That is called an attitude. So an attitude comes from the way you think about something and the way you feel about something. And what has happened to us in terms of our 63 births is our attitude has become an attitude that is dictated by a lot of different things, whether it's ego, whether it's superiority, whether it's a lack of self-respect, whether it's inferiority, whatever it may be, but that has created an attitude within us, and we act accordingly. So what Baba is saying is now your attitude should be one of being unlimited. Your attitude should be one in which you are like the world benefactor. You have an attitude of bringing benefit to every situation and to every individual who comes into contact with you. So when you have that attitude in terms of how it is you want to look at something, you want to see something, then I think that as we, as Brahmins, begin to improve on our attitude, make it unlimited, make it beneficial to everything, by using the yuktis or the methodology that Baba has been talking about of pure feelings, elevated thoughts, and good wishes, then whatever it is that we look at, we give drishti to, it is vibrationally creating a change. Whatever it is we look at, vibrationally, there is a change occurring. Because attitude, Baba says, creates your atmosphere. So the attitude you have creates your space, creates the atmosphere. It changes the atmosphere. There was a call of the time dialogue participant who would go in front of Dadi Janki and just sit in front of her and take drishti and take drishti and take drishti and take drishti. So one day I said to him, I said, why are you doing that? Why do you just go in front of... Because he's not a BK. I mean, we understand what's happening, but he's not a BK. So I said, well, why do you do that? He says, because Dadi Janki's drishti cleanses my soul. And then I said, well, what do you mean that Dadi Janki's drishti cleanses your soul? Tell me some more. He says, because when she looks at me, I feel as if she's moving within my soul and she's like maneuvering things around and she's also like cleaning up stuff that shouldn't be there. Because whenever I leave her, whenever I go away from being with her, I feel so much more clean internally. And so Dadi Janki, of course, is a dadi. She, you know, so many years of accumulation of yoga power. But just think about the impact our drishti, don't underestimate the impact of your own drishti. And so when people come in front of you and they make eye contact with you, then immediately if I'm aware that that person is receiving something from me, I would automatically want to be in the right consciousness. Because then I become the instrument to help make something happen for that person. Or to create a situation for that person to realize that something is happening. And then that person could take it further in terms of wanting to cleanse himself, because you're not, as Baba says, you create that opportunity for someone to recognize something that is possible in their lives. But we are not going to be the ones becoming God to clean people's lives up, but we're becoming the instrument to connect them to God. And just think about that drishti, a drishti that can create an opportunity for another person to recognize the possibility of being cleansed. And wanting then to know, well, what is the method of being cleansed? Why do we go to Baba's room? How many of you go to Baba's room? We all go to Baba's room, right? That's a silly question. But what is it you like most about going to Baba's room? Baba's drishti. What happens when you take drishti from Baba? You become intoxicated. You feel loved. You're seen. What else happens? You feel things moving energetically. You can have a heart-to-heart conversation with him. You know, you can get his constant drishti. He doesn't have to look at 10 other people as he's giving you drishti. You let go. You become free. The burdens are lifted. Now, think about when others take drishti from you. How do they feel? They will feel exactly what you are feeling about yourself. And so for me, the aspect of the transformation that occurs from my drishti is the doing. And it's a very subtle doing. It's a very, very subtle doing. And so the question that should constantly be, I should be asking myself, as I am in the acting mode, is what am I seeing here? And how Baba would see this. and then ask myself the question, what would I do? Before I decide what to do, I should ask myself, what am I seeing? Because we are so quick to jump into the action mode. But I won't know what it is I have to do if I don't see first what it is I have to do. I have to see it first. To me, drishti is one of the most beautiful ways that you can ever imagine in terms of, I call it drinking in. Like, you're thirsty. You're thirsty, the soul is so thirsty. And the soul doesn't want to hear too much of knowledge. The soul is tired, the intellect is tired. But all the soul wants to do is to feel. The soul doesn't want to think. It's tired. And so the only way that I can feel is through drishti. The only way that I can really quench that thirst of experiencing all the attainments that Baba has given to me is through Baba's drishti. And this is why for me, you know, yesterday when Daddy Gulzar was saying, take up the subject of self-respect and make a list of all the names, use the word names, that you can have in terms of describing your self-respect. Now, if you did that through just thinking about it, you would just make a list, but you won't identify with it. But if you were to go in Baba's room and sit in front of Baba and take drishti from Baba, and then as you feel what self-respect means for you, you make your list, wouldn't that be a very different list? Because once you feel it, then you begin to see it. Yes, this is mine. This is who I am. And once I can see it based on my feelings, nobody can take that away from me. Nobody can take away that worth that is mine and that I have forgotten because I have seen it. And I have seen it through Baba's drishti. Because Baba, through his drishti, allowed me to experience it. Now, I think that in terms of service, and I'm going to conclude with this, in terms of transformation, this is the highest form of service I can do for another. And when Baba says the highest form of service is through the mind, the highest form of service is through the mind, but the service of the mind coming through my drishti. And if I can uphold someone's dignity through my drishti, if I can uphold someone's respect through my drishti, if I can uphold someone's, someone's being through my drishti, someone being that legitimate other through my drishti, I think it's the highest form of service that anyone can do. Because once someone feels that, that person is not going to forget it. Just as how when I feel it through Baba's drishti, I don't forget it. And so what is it I can do for my human family is exactly what Baba asks of us through that murli, is to have that soul-conscious drishti, that alaukik drishti, and to look at everyone with that drishti, knowing that that one is a child of God, and knowing that one is my brother and my sister, regardless of what the external situation is. So don't look at the misery. Don't look at the poverty. Look at the human being. Look at the soul. First of all, me being a soul, looking at my brother's soul, and uphold the respect of that soul, uphold the dignity of that soul, because of love. Because ultimately, what radiates through spiritual drishti is soul conscious love. A love that unifies, a love that harmonizes, and a love that cleanses. And so I'll stop at this point, and I think Dadi Janki must be on her way. But maybe to give you a chance, if you have a couple of quick questions. Right. She's saying that Baba says not to look at the face of an angry person because even to see the anger is a sin. Not the face of the person, but the anger. And so, the answer is there because you're looking at the anger and you're going to be influenced by the anger. But to have that appreciative eye would be that, what is this person lacking? That they are in such anger. What is it they need from me? What could I be for this person in this moment? What would they need from me at this moment? What would they need me to be at this moment? Not angry. They wouldn't need me to be angry, but what they would need me to be, perhaps peaceful at that moment. So they could see again, they could see that there's a different way of being. And that's why learning is always through, you know, what you see. It's not what you hear so much. And what you see is very important because it leaves lasting impressions on how I would behave if I were in that similar situation. That's how kids learn. And so we're all kids, we're all students learning. And so we behave according to how we see those we respect in the BK community behave, right? And so if we're all role models for one another, then we're being seen by one another. But we're not just being seen, but we will behave accordingly. One other quick one, if there's any. No. So are you all in your drishti mode? So way of seeing, obviously, is unique in the sense that he's looking at Shiv Baba. So what he's seeing there is the Supreme Being as a being of light, and that's what he's connecting to. So I don't know how he has a heart-to-heart conversation and those things. But for me, it has been very useful to have Baba's eyes to make it real for me. Yeah, right. Sure. I mean, everybody, and I'm not saying that that's not good for him. It may be very effective for him, but we'll have to hear his experiences of, you know, what he sees when he looks at that point of light, because it will be unique to him. This is, I don't see Daddy here, but I'll share another story that for me was very important in terms of seeing again. And there was this this nun who works in India, and she, of course, you know, India is a very secular state, so there are people from different religious backgrounds and faith belief. And she had these girls, these homeless girls from different communities, different religions, different faiths. And she took them in, and of course she was teaching them and giving them the basic things in life. And then someone came to interview her and said, "Well, sister, are you converting these girls to Catholicism?" And the sister paused And she, for a moment, reflected. And her answer was, "Oh, no, no. Each one of these girls are unique. Each one of these girls brought their own unique richness. And when you have your own unique richness to you, no one can convert that." And so the answer that she gave was what she saw in these girls. So unique and so profound to their being in terms of who they are, that is something you cannot convert. And so, I was thinking it's the same way, a little bit similar, like what Baba looks at us. He sees that which is profound and intrinsic within us, something that cannot be converted. So you can't be converted to that which is original to you and that which is unique to you. An environment can be provided to allow that to flourish within you. And that's what Baba does. He allows that divinity to flourish because that's what he sees. So just imagine us walking around looking at that unique divinity in everyone and just stepping out of their way and providing a space for that to flourish. If we do it for one another and not have as much expectations of one another. Just let us flourish. Just see the beauty and let it flourish. That's drishti. I'm not sure what to do now. What do you think we should do? Meditate. All right. So let's experiment with looking at the uniqueness within ourselves and looking at the way Baba sees us and see the beauty within us and see the unique divinity within us. Om Shanti, and thank you all for being here. Otherwise, I don't know who I'll be talking to Drishti about. Talking about Drishti too. So thank you all.